Marx follows the ever-changing landscape to discuss the latest pressing issues relevant to brand owners in Europe and beyond. During this series, Marx members and special guests share updates, experiences, and opinions. This is IP Law Today. This is Talking Marx.
Hello, and welcome to the Talking Marx podcast. I'm James Nurton, the Marx editor, and I'll be hosting today's podcast. Today, I'm joined by Sandra Müller of Squire Patton Boggs in Frankfurt, Germany, and Guido Donath of Donath Law in Innsbruck, Austria. Sandra is chair of the Marx education team, and Guido is a member of the European Trademark Law and Practice team. And most importantly for today's podcast, they've both been involved representing Marx in the EUIPO Trademark and Design Education Programme. And the 2023 to 24 edition of this programme was recently completed. So a very warm welcome to both of you, Sandra and Guido.
Thank you very much. It's our pleasure to be here.
Yeah, thanks for having us today.
It's good to have you with us. So on today's podcast, we're going to find out a bit more about the Trademark and Design Education Programme, what it covers, and also how Marx has been involved. We'll also look a little bit at what the future holds, both for the programme and for the education team more generally. So Sandra, I said you're the chair of the education team, so I think we should start with you. Can you tell us a little bit more about the EUIPO Trademark and Design Education Programme and about our involvement?
Yes, sure. I mean, the EUIPO Trademark and Design Education Programme is a one-year training course within the EUIPO. It takes place every 2 years, and it's focusing on EUIPO proceedings and practices and trademark and design matters. And there is a programme for IP practitioners, and meanwhile, there's also a second programme available for paralegals. There are around about 60 participants in which are admitted on each program, and it's really brilliantly organized. It's created to fit seamlessly into participants' full-time work schedules, and it's delivered by the EUIPO staff members and also by IP professionals. That's where Guido and I come into play. We had the pleasure to support the program specifically in the last edition, but the education team actually has been involved since the very beginning, from the planning stage on in 2018. And 19. And the format has changed a lot over the years. Happy to talk about that a little bit later. But I think this is basically what it is.
What sort of people take part in the training? I mean, are they students or are they legal practitioners? How senior are they?
It really depends. Some of them are from law firms. They are mostly associates. Some of them are in-house counsel, and they are also EUIPO staff members.
Okay, right. And you said the people who run it are a mix of EUIPO staff and external IP professionals like yourself.
Yes, exactly.
And so what different things do you bring, do you think, compared to the EUIPO staff?
We specifically bring the lawyer's perspective. I mean, it's of course priceless to have a program which focuses on best practices being told by EUIPO staff members. I mean, that's really unique. But we think we bring something different as well. I mean, lawyers' strategies and also not just learning from more experienced IP practitioners, but also the candidates learning from each other and just interacting with one another. I think this is really, really a good approach.
Can I add something here?
Please do, yes.
I thought it was also very rewarding in the recent final examinations where Sandra and I took place in Alicante in June, that it was that the examination was not so much of a question and answer thing, but rather also a discussion on how would you practically approach this problem or this case. So it was more of an exchange of views. Of course, we had our agenda where we kind of had our tick boxes to give you a picture of what things they should cover in their answers, but it was more like a face-to-face exchange of views and strategies. So I think this is quite unique. So you don't have that at university, for example, where there was just kind of, has he read that page in the textbook? So it's not like that at all.
Interesting, Guido. And was this the first year you've done it, or how many years have you taken part?
No, I actually jumped in the examination panel in the previous edition. So that was 2 years ago. And I also was involved in the EUIPO Academy in the teaching part. So I did that starting in 2019, actually. So, but that was not in the examination, but in the educational part before the final exam, but it was only my second time where I had the pleasure of being invited to the examination panel.
Interesting. Yeah. And do you, both of you, do you have specific roles? Do you have specific kind of courses that you teach or work on, or do you cover the whole range of topics? Guido first.
But Sandra, correct me here if I'm mistaken, but I think that the program in its setup has changed a little bit, because in the past it was a little bit more like lectures, on-site lectures at the IPO combined with online courses, but they changed the system now. So I was not involved in the kind of lecturing part. But this time I was only involved in the final examination. And I think, Sandra, this was the same with your role, right?
Yes, actually, I mean, the entire format changed quite a lot over the years. The education team was involved since 2018-19 from the very first edition on. And then it was more or less a video course with a lot of material to work through for yourself, some on-site meetings, and the final exam also taking place on-site. And then obviously during the pandemic years, we then did the entire program online. And then now it's much more interactive in the fifth edition and with so-called IP Lab. And a lot of more on-site meetings and interactive trainings, which involve the students and also us. I mean, I've had a video webinar, for example, for several years now on non-registered rights under Article 8.4 EUTMR. And so I've been also a tutor in the program. And have we specific topics? Actually not, because, I mean, when we arrived for the exams, we were asked whether we have preferences regarding the questions we would like to discuss with the students, and which was really nice, but we are somewhat put on the spot anyway all the time, so we are really used to that. And as Guido just said, it's really a more or less of a discussion than a really serious exam situation.
That's interesting. Yeah,
and the examination itself, it covers trademark part and the design part. So at least for those students or participants which are on, let's say, the full track, as it is called, there are separate tracks for designs and trademarks in parallel to that. But those who are on full track are covered design questions and trademark questions.
Yeah. Yeah. And Sandra, I mean, you mentioned some of the changes. I mean, how else has it changed in the time you've been involved? Have the types of people doing the course changed, for example, or the geographies or anything like that?
Yes, because the admission criteria have changed. Formerly, there were just the program was open to legal practitioners entitled to act as representatives in trademark matters before the UIPO and UIPO staff members, basically. And now they have somewhat opened it up to a more broader audience. Now it's more or less having sufficient prior knowledge in the IP field, which can be documented by different means. And this means also that you have probably more in-house counsel now, and so more or less a more mixed participantship.
Yeah, interesting. Yeah, so it's a greater variety of people. And I guess that's probably more that's interesting as well, because they bring their own perspectives, their own experiences.
Yes, and it's so interesting because especially in the fifth edition, we really felt that there was such a sense of community, because they just met several times at the EUIPO premises. They interacted in webinars and the IP labs, and there was really a community growing. And there's also now an alumni network, which is also, of course, a great opportunity for business development.
Yeah, indeed. Absolutely, yeah. And from your point of view, Guido, what's the best thing about being involved?
As we've said before, it is actually also for us a good opportunity to meet people in the field. From the geographical point of view that you just mentioned, it's of course open. So we also this time met people we probably wouldn't have met otherwise, or through other kind of channels. So that is nice to have that kind of exchange. It's also good to bring Marks on the agenda, because, you know, some of them might not have heard of the organization, in-house personnel, but dealing with IP, and also practitioners who probably haven't heard of that. But of course, we always explained kind of why we ended up in the examination panel in Alicante, because, of course, a lot of in-house Alicante personnel is also sitting in this examination panel. So we are the external ones. So that kind of that exchange and extending the reciprocal network, I think, is very, very, very rewarding. Alicante in June, as it was this year, is also a plus.
Yes, don't they have a big festival in June in Alicante, I think? I don't know if you were there for that.
No, unfortunately not. Unfortunately not.
Is it a big time commitment for you, Sandra?
I mean, of course it takes time, but especially as members of the examination board, we are also involved not just in the final exams, but also in the preparing the materials for the IP labs, for the interim exams. So there's always something to do. But on the other hand, as Guido just mentioned, it's extremely rewarding for us. And it's so much fun just working with the EUIPO colleagues and also with the colleagues from other countries, just coming together for sharing this task of serving the program as best as we can. And against this background, it's really worth the time spent.
Can you give us any sort of examples of the topics covered in the exams or any of the sort of questions or anything that was particularly interesting this year?
Of course, the classical thing is that you have in trademark, in the area of trademark law, you have things like likelihood of confusion, obviously. But I think we also had a case on more procedural issues, for example, on how to prove reputation. If I'm not mistaken, that was one of the cases that was prepared.
Nearly any situation which can come up, typical procedural situations which you encounter in your daily practice. For example, opposition proceedings, proof of use, invalidity of designs, and topics like that. And which makes it easy for us as well just to discuss with the students, even if it's not in the exam task as such, but just to elaborate a little bit more on the specific topics and just have a discussion with them, which is really great.
Yeah, and so it sounds like the topics are very practical, very, very much the kind of day-to-day things that you would come up against in practice.
Absolutely. And I think that's the aim of the program, because probably it wouldn't be as successful if it were just, you know, teaching the respective articles of the EU trademark regulation or that kind of thing. So it's more like, okay, this is a practical problem, and you probably know and you have to know the legal basis for approaching this, but how you do it in practice might be a different story. So it is really also about a strategy. So how would you approach this problem? So that I think makes the program also very interesting and also continually so for practitioners to participate in the future, I think.
Yeah, and probably complements the more sort of academic-focused training that people get at universities or colleges and so on.
Exactly.
Absolutely.
So what does the future hold for the program then? Sandra, you said it's 5 editions they've had already, is that right?
Yes, that's right. And now they are taking place every 2 years. And so the next practitioners training will take place in 2026. And yeah, we are, of course, excited to stay on the program as the education team and in different roles. I mean, it's not just me. It's also Shane Smith as a member of the examination board, José Amorim, and also Charlotte Juli, who have been very much involved in the last editions. And also actually the entire education team from the very beginning, just at the planning stage and how the program will look like. And now we are looking back and we are really impressed of how it's involved. And it's very exciting to be on that journey.
And so do you have some input into the program then going forward? Do you think you can provide feedback and recommendations about the topics and so on?
It's excellent. And I wouldn't have, to be honest, a lot of room for improvement, because, I mean, we've also received the impressions of the candidates, of the students, and they were all very, very happy, even with the exams as such, as we were told. And they all said it was like an Erasmus year. So I think it's really, there's not a lot to wish for.
I totally agree. I mean, there was only like relatively short time frame in where we had the chance to talk to the people, which was the kind of get together after all the candidates have finished their final exams in Alicante. But as Sandra correctly said, the feedback was very positive, and I think there would be, after you have passed the exam, there is no pressure to praise the program, but they did nonetheless. So they were so we were engaged in the discussions. And what made you do this and commit time to doing this in addition to your daily workload and family and what else, and they were like saying, okay, also in retrospect, so after they have had their certificates or held their certificates in their hands, they were very positive. The feedback was very positive. And I think that tells a lot.
Did they all pass?
Thankfully, in our panel, they did. So we didn't have to issue it. No, we did not. But I think there were a number of people who did not pass.
Yes, there's always a small number of people who don't pass. But fortunately, as Guido just said, we didn't have to fail anybody.
That's good to know. And it sounds like a very positive thing for you, obviously, to be involved in, but also for the Marks education team to be involved in, Sandra. So, and a lot of people on that team have, as you said, have been involved over the years.
Yes, it's been one of our flagship projects, obviously, over the last years.
Tell us a little bit about any other projects that the education team is working on at the moment.
We have a lot of long-term projects anyway, which we have to stick to for many, many years to come. First of all, it's the Louis Gay Scholarship Award, which is the memorial award given to a student in the university every year where the annual meeting takes place. And there will, of course, be an award ceremony also taking place this year in Stockholm, always in the first session on Tuesday or Thursday. So we would, of course, be very pleased if many of you who joined today will also join us in Stockholm next week for the award ceremony. And another project is Marks at Universities, which was somewhat born from the notion that there is so much knowledge and experience within Marks, and we would like to give it back and bring this to the universities. And so the idea is basically having Marks corporate members offering workshop lectures at universities, talking one-on-one really to students and offering realistic experience as life is in us. IP practitioner, and we've done this already at the University of Geneva, and we are now planning to take this also to other universities. We are traditionally hosting a workshop for the Marks Spring Team meeting. We are also working on a workshop for the Spring Team meeting in Barcelona right now at the university, and so there are many different projects at the moment we are working on, and there's always something to do.
Yeah, and I know it's very important, isn't it, for Marks to be promoting education and kind of career development opportunities for members and other people who attend the events and so on.
Yes, exactly. And it's always, of course, also important that what we would like to do is as well is collaborate more, even more with other teams, because the stronger we have the collaboration within each other's and also amongst the teams, of course, the more powerful we will be as a trademark user association. So we also understand this as one of the basic tasks of the education team, to just help other teams and support and create room for collaboration wherever we can.
And I guess that, Guido, you're a good example of that, because you're on the European Trademark Law and Practice team, is that right?
Exactly. So I'm not involved in the education team, but I had the great honor of, in 2018 originally, invited by the EUIPO Academy, participate in the education program at the EUIPO for practitioners. And probably this was because of the fact that I also teach at university. So they might have thought they were looking for people at that point in time. And so and the rest is history, really. So yeah, I'm still here. I'm very happy. I'm happy that I'm accepted, even as a kind of, as I said, as a side hustle of sorts.
Well, I mean, it sounds very interesting and rewarding what you've been working on the education program. So it's very good to hear about it. Thank you very much to both of you for sharing that with us today.
Yeah, thanks again for having us and giving us a chance to talk a little bit about that exciting project.
Yeah, it was really a pleasure for us. Thank you.
Well, in that case, I think we'll say thank you very much indeed to Sandra and Guido for joining us on today's podcast, today's episode of Talking Marks. And thanks also to everyone for listening. If you would like to find out more about the education team, as we just discussed, and the various projects that they're working on, you can check out the education team's page on the Marks website, or of course, contact Sandra or any of the other team members directly by email, or indeed at one of the Marks events. We're recording this just before the annual conference in Stockholm, so you may be able to see us there. But there are other Marks events coming up later this year and next year, including, as Sandra mentioned, the spring meeting in Barcelona as well. But that's it for today's podcast. We'll be back very soon with another episode of Talking Marks. For now, though, it's a goodbye from all of us.
Join us again soon for another podcast on an important issue for brand owners. To find out more on our website and guest speakers, visit marks.org/podcast.